come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got through the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Rose intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, David Deal, as always on a Wednesday, on a hump day, and really a lot going on here at the facility today because, well, tomorrow's Christmas Eve, and nobody likes to work on Christmas Eve, right?
No.
So it's a jam-packed show. It's a jam-packed show. It's a jam-packed day today. We're filming a lot of stuff here. Everybody, all hands on deck, and it's a lot going on here, man.
There's a lot going on. Obviously, you know, the attention around this game, still the talk about Odell Beckham Jr. and what's going to happen today. So to say that it isn't crazy around here would be a very, very, very big understatement right now.
Yeah. So a few things. Hopefully you tuned in to the Tom Coughlin press conference that aired on MSG, and of course if you did not, you can find it on giants.com, and his statements, what he had to say about Odell Beckham Jr. What we know obviously right now is that Odell Beckham Jr. at noon has his appeal hearing with James Thrash. That's the arbitrator that will oversee the appeal for Odell Beckham Jr. trying to, of course, get his one game suspension against the Miami Dolphins against the Minnesota Vikings overturned. That's all we know right now. Not sure exactly when that ruling will come down. Some are anticipating it to come down later on this afternoon. Only time will tell. But until then, I mean, really, Dave, I mean, there's really nothing else to report.
I mean, yeah, there's really nothing to report. I think it was great on Coach Coughlin's part to address it from his perspective and his standpoint in regards to what he's thinking and how the organization feels. He said it. Granted, yes. He was out of control, everything that happened. But, you know, I will say this. When it came to Odell Beckham Jr. on Sunday, he was damned if he do, and he was damned if he didn't. Because if he went into that game and he sat there and sat back and let all that happen, you know what tag he would have gotten? He would have gotten the soft tag from everything moving forward. He didn't respond. He didn't do anything. Granted, like I said, the way that it happened, everything, the way that he went out of control, yes. Nobody's saying that it was right. Nobody agrees with it. But at the same time, people were testing him. And if he didn't respond the way that he would have, the media presence and what people would have been saying after the game is, oh, he was soft. He let him get into their heads, and he didn't respond to it. This is the only thing that I will say in regards to all of it. Coach Coughlin addressed it, and they pointed it out. I think people who have seen what happened in pregame with the practice squad player walking to the sideline and swinging a bat. I will say this. If I was running out of the tunnel during my 11th season career and I saw an opponent swinging a bat on the field, I would think that I was going into a fist fight and going into a back alley brawl. That would have been my mentality going into that football game. It's one thing when you're motivated enough, knowing how important the game is, that you're facing an undefeated opponent. But then there's another aspect that when you see that makes you flip the switch to another way. And that definitely affected the way that went down and the way that everything happened during that football game.
Phone lines are open, obviously, 201-939-4513. Also, hashtag Giants Chat. That's your opportunity to post on Twitter. I'll be monitoring Twitter throughout the show. I will share your comments and as well ask your questions for David Deal. Moving forward, I mean, it's kind of tough. I mean, what we want to do in this show is we want to preview and really kind of break down this Giants matchup with the Minnesota Vikings. But until we have an idea
how do you break it down exactly when you don't know, when it's
this team,
the biggest piece to your puzzle right now of what you do offensively to open things up. But
is Odell Beckham Jr. So, I mean, we could sit here and we could say, okay, hypothetically speaking, if Odell does not play, you know, who steps up offensively? Well, obviously, Dwayne Harris, Reuben Randle. I think Shane Vereen gets utilized in the passing game. Maybe he's put in the slot more. Will Ty, I think, is going to – I mean
– offensive line.
Offensively, there's going to be a number of people that are going to have to step up because we know just how valuable Odell Beckham Jr. is to this offense.
Number one, you have to be able to run the football. They've got to do something to control the line of scrimmage and not let the Minnesota Vikings defense dictate the tempo of this football game because it will feed right into everything that they do. The Minnesota Vikings team is an old-school coached football team. It is an old-school coach and Mike Zimmer, a defensive coordinator, that type of mentality. Watching them on film, they're not going to do anything that just makes you jump up and say, wow. But what do? Is they play sound football across the board. Offensively, they lean on Adrian Peterson to control the time of possession, control the offense, so that it takes the pressure off of Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater is not going to be a quarterback that beats you with his arm. But when they get that running game going, he does a great job of managing it. And the thing that you've seen from last year to this year, he utilizes his check down. He's not scared to get the ball to his check down and get a gain or throw the football away, where last year he was taking more risks about throwing interceptions and trying to force footballs in there. Adrian Peterson. In this game, it is huge that the Giants' defense have negative plays on first and second down, because if they let him continue to get those cracks in this cold weather, in the environment of what it's going to be in Minnesota, that's where the Minnesota offense will take the will of the Giants' defense in the second half if they don't do those things earlier. As a former offensive lineman, cold weather is perfect for running the football because what does it do? It allows you to break down a defense so that you take over that game in the third or fourth quarter, that those runs that may have only been 3-4 yards start breaking for 10-yard chunks, 11-yard chunks, 9-yard chunks. So it's going to be very important for the defensive line of the Giants to hold up and make sure those defensive ends are aggressive, forcing everything from the outside in, because you know he is a downhill runner. You know that he wants to get in between the tackles. So they've got to make sure that they have gap discipline and are stout at the point of attack. And then Stephon Diggs, he's been their best receiver. He's been Teddy Bridgewater's security blanket. Obviously, they've got the weapons, with Kyle Rudolph at the tight end position. They still have Mike Wallace, who can have that top-end speed, but Stephon Diggs has been his security blanket. Defensively, stout defensive line. Linville Joseph, which most Giants fans know. He missed some games earlier in the season.
And he knows this Giants offensive line, too.
He knows this Giants offensive line. He is an absolute beast, and he is a guy that will put the center in the quarterback's lap. Then you have Anthony Barr, who adds on in sub packages, and the rush. Chad Greenway is a smart veteran linebacker who gets everybody lined up. You know, you have Terrence Newman and Xavier Rhodes as their two corners. Harrison Smith is a very good free safety. But then their defensive end positions. On third down, they're going to run a lot of stunts, a lot of twists. Everson Griffin, Brian Robeson, these guys can get after the quarterback.
No, I mean, this is a Minnesota Vikings team that's solid on both ends.
Yep.
And, one thing that's really interesting about Teddy Bridgewater is that, you know, really all season long, he's just been one of those manageable quarterbacks. You know, enough threat to really...
Norv Turner guy. He's
right.
Perfect for this system.
But enough of a threat to kind of not allow a defense to put 9 in a box, allowing certain rushing lanes to really be open for Adrian Peterson. But last week, 5 total touchdowns.
Yep.
I mean, Norv opened it up for this young man. And also, he passed for over 300 yards against the Arizona Cardinals the week before.
Yes.
And that's not a small task.
No.
The Arizona Cardinals' defense is extremely good. So the past 2 weeks, he's actually been quite good. So keep that in mind. So I'm really intrigued,
the
Dave.
The big thing also, for this Minnesota offense, like I said, keeping the chains moving, they were 67% on third down against the Bears.
Wow.
So they controlled the time of possession. They were able to take their time, manage everything, and just play the game and dictate the tempo the way that they wanted to. So that's what I'm saying. Those first and second downs have to be negative plays for this Giants defense, because the way that you're going to get by is forcing Teddy Bridgewater into third and longs, where you'll have more opportunities to get takeaways, where you can let your defensive line attack. But when he's in those third and manageable, he has no pressure on him because, like I said, that is the way that he dinks and dunks down the field naturally. So a 3rd and 4 to 6, 3rd and 4 to 7, he's okay with that because that's the way that offense manipulates and works anyways.
It's going to be really intriguing to see what Teddy Bridgewater the Giants are going to face on Sunday night. Now, this is where I'm a negative Nelly. I'm a Debbie Downer. This is where the news
high of 19 degrees,
low of 10, and this is a game that was flexed. As we know, this is going to be a night game.
Yep.
So the temperatures are supposed to be 10 degrees, and you've played in those temperatures
yes,
before.
Yes, I have.
That's not fun.
No,
that's not fun. Football weather. It's not fun. You know it.
No, it's not. Obviously, for an offensive lineman, that's an optimal weather. Sweat factors at a minimal. You don't have the problems of that, of cramping up. Obviously, skilled position guys are going to be layered up with clothing. But like I said, the biggest people that it affects is the front seven of the defense. Because if you can break them down, if you can wear them down, that's where you're able to take over football games. You want to run the football. You want it to be cold because, like I said, that is when you can impose your will on other teams.
So we've got a full bank of calls, no surprise, especially a day like today where I'm sure a lot of Giants fans anxiously waiting the decision from James Thrash, who's the arbitrator, on whether or not Odell Beckham Jr. will be active or inactive for the Giants in this Sunday night showdown against the Minnesota Vikings. Also, a lot of tweets coming in. 201-939-4513 # Giants chat. Dave, let's start with Ronnie in New Jersey. Ronnie, welcome in.
Hi, how are you doing today?
We're doing great, Ronnie. How are you?
I'm good. I want to talk about the Odell Beckham situation. I'm very
What happened? I don't know what happened with Odell Beckham Jr. Why is everybody talking about this now?
Unfair that, you know, some of the fans have really turned against him. Yes, he made a bad play, but the fact remains is to bring a bat on the field pregame to sit there and show that and swing the bat. This guy, Josh Norman, I even saw a clip of him going after a wide receiver on the Falcons and talking, I mean, like bad trash talking. So, I mean, if you put yourself in that position, you push the envelope for other things to happen. So when Odell sat there and did that bad hit, which was awful, you know, I mean, what do they expect for this guy to do when he's the envelope is getting pushed on him to hit into the field? And I'm very upset at the older guys on the Giants team because as soon as that play ended and he went to the sideline, they should have been talking to him, trying to calm him down. You know, I love Eli to death, but gosh, somebody needs to take the reins of that team and be a leader and really, you know, put some of these young guys and take them in and say, listen, you know, we got to keep our head in the game. We can't, you know what I mean? Because we could have won that game. But, you know, things got out of control, and I blame the refs. Where were the refs, too? Josh Norman picked up Odell twice and threw him down on the field, and not a flag was thrown right in front of the referee.
Ronnie,
I mean, how unfair is that?
Ronnie, totally understand. Thank you for the phone call. Totally understand your frustration. Totally, and there are a number of Giants fans who feel the same way you do. I do want to touch on something that Ronnie did bring up, and that is the leadership on this squad. And I hosted this morning from 4 to 6 a.m., and obviously this is going to be the center of attention and talk today. Of course, everybody waiting for the decision to come down later on this afternoon. But the topic of leadership on this football team came up. And I wonder, Dave, I'm going to throw this your way, if Victor Cruz was active, was healthy, was able to play, how much of a voice, how much of a leader do you think he would have been in this situation and in this locker room this season?
I think it definitely would have made a difference. You know, if you go back to it, I guarantee which Coach Coughlin thinks he wishes that he would have done things differently and stepped in. You also have to play the fact of how come the officials didn't do anything? They knew that this was going to take place. They knew what type of game. They didn't control it. They didn't stop things early that let all this stuff continue to get built up and built up to where it happened. But you do. You think about having a John Beeson, not being able to step in and being a part of it. But you know what? As a man, you've got to be able to take responsibility for yourself. You can sit here and point to leadership. You can point to other things, which I'm not saying isn't important. I know how important it is to have leaders who will step up, especially when somebody loses their cool. But at the same time, as a competitor, as an athlete, you've got to be able to control yourself in these areas.
Let's look at some of the tweets that are coming in. Again, hashtag Giants chat. This is from AJ Marshall. He says, if Odell is suspended for one game, who do you think will be the leading receiver?
Well, number one, it better be Reuben Randall. You're the veteran of the group. You're the wide receiver that's playing for a contract after this football season because you'll be a free agent. So Reuben Randall needs to step up. Dwayne Harris has a banged-up shoulder. If he's playing, he's got to make improvements. Hakeem Nicks has been here for several weeks now. It's time to get him out on the field to get some production out of him. I think Shane Vereen has also got to be effective out of the backfield
and
to
also
open up
put,
things.
And also put in the slot, Dave.
Exactly.
Don't be surprised that if he's going to play a few snaps out of the slot. And what about Will Tye? I really like the way Will Tye has really stepped up in a big way the past few weeks.
Will Tye, but more importantly than anything, the offensive line. They've got to protect Eli Manning, and they have got to be able to open up holes to run the football. Because in this game, they've got to rush for over 100 yards in order to win it. Because if they don't, Minnesota is going to load up the box, and they're going to force Eli to throw every single time. And that's going to lead to a long day.
This is another tweet from AJ, and just kind of right into what you're talking about. Rashad Jennings been running effectively the last couple of weeks. Do you expect him to continue against Minnesota? He has their rush defense ranked at 19th.
And the good thing is that now we're seeing that he's getting a bulk of the carries. They're giving him his opportunities. He's getting downhill and he's playing well. Losing Nikita Whitlock hurts, because he's been doing a phenomenal job of opening up holes as a lead blocker. So they're going to have to find some adjustment with a tight end or a Will Tye to be able to fill in for that position as well, because now he's on IR.
Let's continue with our calls. We go to Minneapolis, and we have Abdul calling in. Abdul, the Giants are coming your way, and it looks like it's going to be frigid.
An obvious game, but, you know, you're coming on the coldest day of the year. It's been gorgeous.
I know. What's going on? It's supposed to be.
Suddenly the bottom's dropping out this week.
So, Abdul, it's saying that it's supposed to be 10 degrees, but I'm sure with wind chill and whatnot, it might feel like it's zero, below zero.
A high of 19. And so that's during the daytime.
Yeah, I was just going to say that's during the daytime, Abdul. That's not when the sun goes down.
I know. So it should be the teens, wind chill shock, you know. When chill factor down, you know, to negative, whatever. Anyway, I was at that Green Bay game in 2007, so it won't be anywhere near that.
No.
I think I'll be able to
do that. Like a moron, me and the rest of the offensive linemen didn't wear sleeves. I don't think that would ever happen again if we ever got into that game.
I watched you guys come out that game, and I'm like, how can you guys not be wearing sleeves? Yeah. I was very impressed.
It took me 3 months to get feeling back in the middle of my left finger and the tip. I couldn't feel my finger. Three months.
I was calling to talk about our defense. The way Minnesota runs their offense, it's basically going to attack our weakest points of our defense, which is right up the middle.
Yep.
Our linebackers, our safeties, and our interior linemen. So that's the one thing I'm worried about, because they go right after that. But on the flip side, Minnesota is hurting in the same areas.
Yep.
Lindell Joseph is hurt. Their linebackers are hurt, and also their safety, Harrison Smith, might not even play. So, you know, at this time of year, everyone is hurting. But we're not meeting a Minnesota team that's
fully healthy and stacked like they were earlier, correct. But this is the thing, that you know, coming into this football game, that number one, you know, Mike Zimmer is going to be preaching to his football team, we're built for this cold weather. That's who we are. This is our identity. And players are going to rise up, because I'll tell you what, the people that I've talked to that have been around Mike Zimmer, the people and players that I've talked to on the Vikings, they believe in him. They love him as a head coach, because they know, as a former defensive coordinator, he's a guy who will fight for his players. He will back and defend them up. So in this game, I agree with you that it's elements are going to be one thing, but the New York Giants are going to be facing a hungry Minnesota Vikings team, because they need to win as well to get a spot into the playoffs. So, you know, you're going to sit here and say, Lindell Joseph's, you know, hurt, whatever. You know that Lindell Joseph is going to be completely amped up going up against his old team in this one.
His old team.
And that's the thing. Not everyone is healthy, but this is a point in the season that.
Who is?
Nobody
suck
is.
Suck it up.
You've got to suck it up and play football, because you realize that After these 2 weeks, there's no more woulda, coulda, shouldas. You look back, and at the end of the year, it's W's or losses. The ifs, right. The effort, the heart, those aren't the things that people remember. They remember the records at the end.
All right, so let's break it down for folks out there. First and foremost, a really important game on Saturday night. So really cool. I wanted to
say the least, very important.
I wanted to call this up. So ESPN has their playoff machine. Typically, it comes out on week 16.
Okay.
Are you familiar with this?
Yes, I remember how they did all this stuff.
It's so much fun.
It's crazy.
I know. So they have the playoff machine. Go to ESPN.com, and you can kind of play around with it. So week 16, you go through, and you pick who you think's going to win. Right?
And then lays you go out the playoff scenario. Yeah.
Then you go to week 17 and you pick who you think's going to win. Mm-hmm. And see who I have here. That's hopeful that the Giants come in with a 4
seed. You got to believe.
But so with the playoff machine, how do you get it so that the Giants have the 4th seed in the NFC? Well, this is what needs to happen. Washington needs to lose their next 2 games.
Yep.
And the Giants have to beat the Philadelphia Eagles in week 17.
And that's after beating the Minnesota Vikings.
Right.
Yes.
So that's what needs to happen. So a big game on Saturday, Washington at Philadelphia. Giants fans have to be rooting for the Philadelphia Eagles. And then, of course, week 17, Giants have to beat the Minnesota Vikings. Then if that happens, then, wow, week 17, a lot of drama, a lot of excitement. You've got a Washington team that heads to Dallas to take on the Dallas Cowboys, who, by the way, they had Moore come in, and he actually looked quite good this past week. I'm not sure if he's going to get the start, if they're going to go back to Matt Castle and see what he can do. That I don't know right now. I'll go online and see if they've made a decision yet. Granted, it's only Wednesday, but nonetheless, you've got to hope that the Dallas Cowboys defeats the Washington Redskins, and of course, the Giants have to take care of business in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing. Like you hate to be in this position that you have to rely on other football teams to win games, but at the end of the day, if the Giants don't win this weekend and that's next weekend, what happens with other teams does not matter. What happens to the Redskins doesn't matter. So, once again, it's coming down to taking care of your business. Granted, it's great that they play on Saturday night, so they know exactly which way this Sunday and the rest of the week and the rest of everything is going to be determined based off of that Saturday night matchup. But still comes down to the Giants having to win both of these last 2 football games.
Are you surprised the Giants-Minnesota game was flexed?
No, I'm not. I'm not because of this is the way the playoff situation, the NFL, they want these games to be on TV. They want the conference games and the divisional matchups at the end because they're all suspenseful.
Want to remind you, fans, don't forget that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter the promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings, fantasy sports, free to play. Again, 201-939-4513 is the phone number you want to get in. That's how you do it. Also, hashtag Giants Chat for Twitter. Let's go to Ed in Maryland. Ed, welcome in.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to touch on the Beckham thing again briefly before I move on. I just want to say that I think it's being vilified too hard by the media and everybody else. I mean, Norman obviously is a dirty player, and Beckham is a humble kid that usually, you know, a soft-spoken, quiet. So that's not his character to act like that. Another thing I want to say about that, the Giants actually need more players like Beckham to have that fire and that passion. I think, you know, while we always have to come back from being down 35-7 or have a fourth quarter rally, is because the Giants just take too long to get going. If we have more players with passion that actually wanted to get out ahead instead of having to come back and win a game, the Giants would be better off. And, you know, I just think the Giants like to have those quiet, you know, humble guys too much. You know, they don't really show that when it comes time to play. Like, you know, like Ruben Randall, Eli, they're just too, you know, they're just too quiet. So I just think the Giants need to rally around Beckham and show that fighting spirit more. And then one question I had was about Will Beatty. He was supposed to be coming back mid-season, but then he was put on IR. I was hearing things that he didn't like playing right tackle, so that's why he was put on IR. He wanted to get his job back at left tackle. What does that mean for him going forward for next year? Is he going to be the right tackle, or is he going to be gone?
Will Beatty?
Yes.
That's a great question.
Thank you for your call.
You know, number one, in regards to what you're saying about Odell, I agree with you. I agree with where you're coming from. And, you know, not only is this a time where somebody's attacking you, but, you know, you could sense the frustration. But once again, like we're saying, having it happen once is one thing, but repeatedly and having three of them, he needed to control his actions more, and somebody needed to grab him and tell him to slow down. But in regards to Will Beatty and moving forward here, the good thing that happens now is there's competition, because Eric Flowers, up until he's been hurt, has been making progress and getting better. We don't know which way this offensive line is going to be played out moving forward here, but even though he wasn't able to come back, which definitely hurt the Giants' offense and hurt the offensive line, because if he would have been able to come back, you would have had your five best players out on the football field. But having him come back is going to be important, and it's only going to create competition, because there are going to be changes made, regardless of whether the Giants win these next two football games and make the playoffs, or if they don't. There are going to be changes and moves made in order for this roster to be able to thrive and move forward next season.
This is from Max on Twitter, again, hashtag Giants chat. He says, is it only me that feels that Eli Manning was snubbed again on Pro Bowl voting? Pro Bowl, did you see this? The Pro Bowl selections have come out. So the quarterback position, Tom Brady, Cam Newton, Carson Palmer, Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger, Russell Wilson. I think you can make an argument for Eli Manning getting in over Aaron Rodgers. I don't think Aaron Rodgers had a great season this year.
But it also comes down to wins and winning football games. I understand statistics are one thing, but what do people, like I said, judge it by? They're judging it by wins and losses.
And also, by the way, Odell Beckham Jr. was selected in. This is kind of cool. Folks need to be aware of this. He was the leader in fan voting at the wide receiver position. So he got the most votes out of all wide receivers who made it to the Pro Bowl. Odell Beckham Jr. got the most votes, and I'll give you that list. Brandon Marshall, Julio Jones, Calvin Johnson, DeAndre Hopkins, A.J. Green, Larry Fitzgerald, Antonio Brown, and Odell Beckham Jr. So that's a nice crew.
Yes.
To be elected with.
Yeah. That's
to get the most votes out of all those guys, that's really impressive. Now, he was seventh overall in fan voting across the board.
That's amazing.
Seventh overall in fan voting across the board. Just to give you some information, but back to the Twitter question, do you feel that Eli Manning was snubbed?
You know, I do to an extent because of the way that he's played, but like I said, what people look at is, yeah, they look at individual statistics, but when you're having struggles and your team isn't winning football games overall, that's what people think about.
Brandon Merriweather back on the squad. You have Cooper Taylor, who's dealing with somewhat of a concussion issue. I'm sure that was a big concern, and Whitlock, who was placed on IR. So some moves that were made. Your thoughts? The secondary going up against. Listen, Stephon Diggs. Really is their number one option in the passing game. Also, they have Kyle Rudolph, the tight end that they utilize in the passing attack as well. But this isn't one of those teams that they're going in and saying, wow, this is a really talented receiving core. Not a knock on who they have, but really it's Diggs and it's Rudolph.
The one that I would be scared of, who Teddy Bridgewater utilizes, is Jared McKinnon out of the backfield. He is a matchup nightmare for linebackers.
So, 76 yards and a touchdown last week against Chicago.
He is the one that scares me.
So that's the guy that – and
granted, like I said, yeah, you have your guys. You talked about Diggs. You talk about Rudolph, a solid tight end. You talk about Mike Wallace, who still can have that deep threat and still has that speed. But we've seen that matchup of our linebackers on the New York Giants versus running backs who can have that shiftiness and playmaking ability. And they utilize them, and they run the swing routes. They let them run the sideline ones. They let them run option routes. They open up things for them.
Ryan feels that Weston Richburg would be considered a snub as well. Your thoughts on Richburg's season this year?
He's had a good season. He's definitely been playing well, but this all comes down to winning and losing. That's what people think about when it comes to voting for Pro Bowl.
Just looking through the tweets here. Let's continue with our calls. 201-939-4513. Let's go to PA. Andrew's calling in. Andrew, welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, guys. Good show. I have a couple things I want to touch on real quick. I'll be brief. But firstly, your little opening monologue deal about Beckham, you are preaching to the choir. You couldn't have put it better. But moving on, my real question is I might be wrong, but if Beckham's suspension being upheld, don't they get an extra roster spot? But they go on a suspended list, and the Giants can get an extra player.
That's all what comes out, and with the suspension, that's not a guarantee. But usually, that is sometimes added to it. But you know, once again, we can't sit here and speculate. The rule hasn't come out yet, but that has happened in the past. You're correct.
Okay, and now also, I'm not talking about targets per se. I'm talking about how the lineup most likely. I mean, I would think Miles White will see a little bit more action. He's got like 5 catches on the year for 50 yards. But Harris will probably stay in the slot. Do you see Randall or Hakeem, if Odell's suspended, being the number one?
I would have to say both of them are going to have to step up and make that spot.
I think Reuben Randle would be it, but you'd also
have, if you're moving down towards the red zone, that's where you can use Hakeem more as that one, because it's not so much that deep threat ability. I think we were talking about it earlier, using Shane Vereen in the slot some, because we don't know how banged up Dwayne Harris is. But the biggest factor, like I said, is, last week was a sign, and it was a good sign, but they've got to make sure that they do a good job running the football offensively. I know that this has been a team that passed more to set up the run this entire season, but this is not a game where the Giants' offense can become one-dimensional against this Minnesota Vikings defense, because if they do, Minnesota will control the time of possession, and they will wear down the Giants' offense.
That was the last thing I wanted to touch on. In the past 2 weeks, we've gone up against Ndamukong Suh and Kawan Short. Our line pretty much kept them quiet. Do you think we'll be able to accomplish that against Minnesota? It seems like those two teams, front seven, is better than Minnesota.
Yeah, I would say that they were, but the problem is that, like I said, is, you know, doing it and controlling the tempo. The Giants' offense have to dictate the tempo, like they did in the Carolina game, like they did in the Miami game, where they had those long extended drives where you can wear down an Ndamukong Suh and other players. It's going to be a cold game, yes, but what the Giants' offensive line can establish by controlling the time of possession is wearing down a defensive front seven in the third and fourth quarter, so that you can get bigger runs where you can impose your will on a defense. And like I said, as a group, we used to love cold weather games because, number one, you know that you're going to run the football, and that's the time where you can slow down premier pass rushers like an Everson Griffin or a Brian Robeson because of the ability to run the football right at them.
All right, thank you for the phone call. Let's continue. We go to Lynn in Maryland. He wants to talk about this Vikings matchup. Lynn, welcome in.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, happy holidays.
Well, Lynn.
Happy holidays.
Congratulations to Odell on his Pro Bowl selection. And Anita, thanks for the numbers. Those were interesting numbers on the number of votes that he got.
Yeah, I think it's important to really let people know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, listen, he's let's remember these guys are in the entertainment business, and this guy's very entertaining. He's a wonderful player, just a wonderful player. And it's unfortunate what happened, but
Lynn, I know that you say that, but I hate to say it as a guy who played 11 years. Can I say something, Lynn?
As I said yesterday, guys,
Lynn, can I jump in real quick? For a guy who played 11 seasons, I never looked at going onto the football field as an entertainer. So I'm just throwing that out there. It's not. You may think of it that way, but for a guy who played 11 seasons in the trenches, I wasn't thinking, hey, I'm going out to entertain these people watching.
In terms of those late losses, man, it's been an entertaining season. These have been terrific games, well worth the price of admission. Just an observation, and David, maybe you heard me talking to you sometime, because but part of my pregame ritual is I'm right down first row in the end where the Giants warm up, and I'm right behind the offensive line. And for 10, 11 years, I watched you and Sean and Christy and McKenzie and, you know, listen to the people in the stands yelling at you before the game, cheering you on and so forth. From that vantage point, I can see right down the sideline to the visitors' bench. You guys still with me, by the way?
Yeah, we're here. We're listening
to you.
Okay,
thank you. Thank you. I can, you know, 75 yards away to the 50-yard line right in front of the visitors' bench. I think we got to help Odell out a little bit. I saw a little bit of what happened, and it happened right there in front of the Carolina bench as the guys were warming up. Odell warms up on that side of the field. We got to move him more to the middle, get him over to Eli's side, which is on the Giants' side of the field, get him away from that visitor's bench. You know, the whole thing with the bat and the guy yelling at him, if he'd been on the other side of the field, a lot of that wouldn't have happened, David.
That guy had an agenda regardless of where it would have been.
Maybe we got to help this kid out, David.
I understand where you're coming from, but that agenda was set long before what side he would have been running on the sideline.
But his placement, it's just where he warms up. I'm not knocking it. I mean, that's his place. That's where he warms up before the game. I'm just saying maybe we need to help him a little bit, move him, get him more to the middle, get him away from that bench. I mean,
Lynn, I don't think that's really the main issue here. Thanks for the phone call, though.
Wait a minute, Ernie. What do you mean main issue?
I don't think Odell Beckham Jr. warms up is
you
the...
You want to cut me off, cut me off. But what's the main issue?
I don't know what Odell Beckham Jr. warms up is, Lynn. And you keep on repeating yourself. So
keep him out of harm's way. Help him a little bit.
I understand what you're saying, Lynn. But this was going to take place regardless of whether he was on that side or on the Giants' side. They had an agenda. This was set all week, and it was clear coming into this football game that this is the way that they wanted to act and respond and try to get Odell Beckham Jr. out of his game. If he was warming up on that sideline, if it happened during the game, it would have had the same exact intent and outcome, regardless.
Just one small step, David. That's all I'm saying. Hey, listen, thanks for taking my call. You guys are great. Happy holidays. Let's go, Giants.
Happy holidays.
Thank you, Lynn.
And that's the thing. We're not telling Lynn what he can say, what questions he can ask. You can ask whatever you want. I'm just saying in this regard, number one, I thought it was comical that a practice squad guy is swinging a bat. Hey, why don't you worry about getting on the football field on the active roster instead of swinging a bat on the sidelines in a game that you're not playing in?
Right.
Number two, I've never seen a team that actually traveled practice squad guys. That's the first I've ever seen of that, because practice squad guys usually don't travel with the team. And then third, like I said, granted, yes, you are more susceptible if you're towards one sideline than the other of a team being able to jaw, but it wouldn't have mattered in this instance because they had an agenda set on what they were going to do, and they were going to try to disrupt them and have it, and it was shown the first play when Josh Norman went after him on the first play of the game. So you knew this was what was going to happen regardless of where he was warming up. That's all I'm saying, Lynn.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Daniel. He's calling in from Colorado. Daniel, welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hello, how are you doing?
Hi.
I don't usually call in. It's been a long time.
Welcome back, Daniel.
I don't have a lot of time to call in. But anyway, I want to try to stay positive, but I do want to hit the big issue that everyone's talking about. And to be honest, to get to Len's main point, for me personally, it's not Odell. It's not Josh Norman. It's not what side of the field they warmed up on. It's the fact that the league allowed players to come on the field with baseball bats.
Bingo.
I don't get it.
Bingo.
I do not get it. Our country is dealing with a violence crisis, yet they let these people come onto the field with baseball bats? What are we showing our kids? What are we showing our fans? What are we showing each other? You know, it's just I'm still kind of upset about the fact that everyone's talking about, oh, it's just a way to intimidate, and we were just doing the home run thing.
No.
Yes.
That is not just a way to intimidate.
It's violence.
Yep.
I'm just dumbfounded. I personally don't think the league's going to do anything about it as far as fines or anything like that, but they should come out and give a statement. They should give a statement, and they should make a rule. Unfortunately, you shouldn't have to make a rule saying don't bring weapons onto the field, but unfortunately, that's where we're at. I think the league needs to make a statement, a big statement, come out and say, look,
Well, I believe Daniel, just to interject here, I believe that Troy Vincent has sent a letter to all teams, saying that in no way, shape, or form should there be any type of weapons on any sidelines. And I want to say that was sent like the very next day. Also, I'm sorry, really quick. Cornerback Josh Norman, it's being reported that he was fined $26,044 for two situations that took place in the Giants game. Just FYI, $26,044.
And Daniel, that's why I said when we first started this show, you know, running out of that tunnel for 11 seasons, it's one thing when you have your emotions flowing and you know you're about to go to war out on the football field in the trenches. It's another thing if I'm running out there and I've got somebody on the opposing team swinging a baseball bat. I told you, my mentality would be like, we are going into a alley brawl and I'm coming out swinging. That would have been my mentality, absolutely, because if that's, you know, I've always been taught, you know, as a kid, my father would always say, you only fight when somebody's trying to steal your pride and somebody's trying to do something else. And that's what they were trying to do at the Giants stadium on Sunday. And so I'm not surprised, but like you said, now after the fact, oh yeah, there's a letter going out by Troy Vincent. Yeah. What happens on the football field on Sunday that started and dictated the way that this game was played?
But what's
absolutely nothing.
But also what I find interesting is that this is week 15.
I know.
They've been doing this for 15 weeks, and this is the first time that it's being reported. That's just very surprising to me.
It's terrible.
And to go along with it, once again, with the critics that were right away to join blame and throw Odell Beckham Jr. under the bus, I'm sitting there watching Sunday Night Football, and I'm watching Rodney Harrison talking about how bad it is to physically go after somebody. Rodney, you were one of the most fine people in the NFL that was a headhunter and would try to intimidate people that way. So now you're going to be a contradiction to yourself and who you were as a player, saying that this shouldn't belong in the NFL? Come on, man.
Daniel, any final thoughts before we let you go?
I got to kind of take a shot at one of the media folks that I generally have some respect for, and that's Graziano. Usually I respect him because he's got a very neutral approach to the Giants, you know, whether it's good or bad. He doesn't kind of pick sides. He's pretty honest with things. But his little comments about Beckham deserved it, end of story, don't want to hear it. That, to me, shut it all off, and he didn't want to talk about any of the other things that we had just discussed. It's his right. He can report journalism any way he likes, but he's the beat guy for the Giants. You know, I expected at least he would come back and say, look, I'm not defending Odell, you know, but I got to tell you about these other things. You know, show us the full, you know, range. You know, I just hate when media guys do that. They pick a side, they shut it off, and they don't want to tell you the whole story.
Daniel,
thank you
for the phone call.
And you're talking about somebody who started in baseball.
Yeah, I mean, but also I think, you know, listen, you've heard this in your tenure, in your time here, and I'm sure you were warned when you came to New York and you played for the Giants. You know, the New York media is it's tough.
Yeah, it is.
What's the
cure all of everything? Vitamin W, winning.
Yes.
Cures everything.
It's the ultimate deodorant.
It is.
As Amy Trask.
Yep.
Likes to say often, who I have immense respect for.
Let's see what else we got going here.
So 201-939-4513. Let's go to Mike in Connecticut. Mike, welcome in.
Hey, how are you guys?
Excellent, great. Mike. How are you, buddy?
Good. First-time caller. Dave, just want to say thank you for years of service to Big Blue.
Thank you very much. Sincerely appreciate that, buddy. Happy holidays.
You too. Just two quick comments. You already answered my question about Josh Norman's fine, but if Beckham's suspension holds, are we going to see Jeremy Davis at all, or is he hurt? Or I know he's been inactive, but
that's a great question. I think that moving this week, I think that we're going to see multiple moves this week in practice to figure out what will be the best combination to be effective on Sunday if Odell Beckham Jr. is not able to go. But, I mean, he was drafted for a reason. He made some plays during the preseason. At this time in the year, since we're heading into week 16, he should know and understand the offensive playbook. So this is a time where if he gets his opportunity, he has to make the most of it.
Yeah, let's hope so. My only other thing, and I'll just take this off the air, but about Coach Coughlin. I know a lot of people are saying this is his last year or he's going to retire, but just saying with the lack of talent we have, especially on our defensive side, the way they fight, and they've never really been out of too many games except the Eagles game, that's just proof to me that he should stay. That's really all I have to say.
Great
Mike,
point,
thank
Mike.
You. Thank you for the phone call. I'm the biggest Tom Coughlin fan, so it's not even.
I agree with you.
Yeah, I don't. I think it will be a very sad day.
He's doing the best with what he has and the injuries that have taken place at key positions.
Again, remember, Big Blue Kickoff Live brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, we'll pick your cash. It's as simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter the promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings, fantasy sports free to play. Heading into this week in DraftKings and Daily Fantasy.
I love it. I love it. You get so excited
about
this.
I love
Let's
it.
Hear it.
I love it.
Who are your players?
Because this is what's interesting. This is when a lot of people start playing Daily Fantasy because they've been kicked out or they've lost.
They've lost their league.
This is championship week in weekly fantasy.
Championship.
Yeah. So, you know, you're talking about 16, 14, 12 team leagues. Now it's only come down to two people. You've got like a mass, you know, amount of people that are jonesing for fantasy, go to DraftKings. This is what you play. Anyway, so going into this week, it's going to be really interesting because my two top quarterbacks, Ben Roethlisberger against the Baltimore Ravens.
Okay.
So stacking him with Antonio Brown or Martavis Bryant, even Marcus Wheaton.
Yeah, Marcus Wheaton.
I want to say he's like $5,000 on DraftKings is a solid flex play. I love it. And Blake Bortles and the Jaguars going up against the Saints. So stacking Blake Bortles with Allen Robinson or Blake Bortles and Allen Hurns. Even Blake Bortles and Julius Thomas. The Saints are the worst team against opposing tight ends this season. So it's really an exciting week in daily fantasy because there's some really great matchups and some really fun players you could utilize.
I watched that game actually and called that game last week. I had the Falcons-Jaguars game. In order for Blake Bortles to go, though, you better watch T.J. Yeldon, the running back, because when they had Denard Robinson in there this past week and when T.J. Yeldon missed the game when they played the Texans earlier in the season, their offense struggled. So a lot of it's going to be on T.J. Yeldon being able to run the ball effectively to open up things for Robinson and Hurns on the outside.
Let's continue with our calls, 201-939-4513. Let's go to Joe calling in from New Jersey. Joe, welcome in.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Great.
Great, Joe. How are you, buddy?
Not too bad. I'm just real disappointed, you know, how this season has kind of ended up for the Giants, you know. And then you have the icing on the cake with Odell Beckham. But, you know, personally, I really think that Odell should not – I don't think he should be suspended because you go back to – some of the old-time greats, not necessarily it doesn't have to be the football greats, but you go back to Muhammad Ali. I remember one fight when he was fighting Chuck Webner, and Chuck Webner kept hitting him in the back of his head.
I remember that.
And he grabbed Chuck Webner by the neck and kept pointing to the ref, telling him, look at what he's doing. And Ali was whopping him behind his head and holding his head, whopping him behind his head. I don't disagree with that. I do disagree with what Beckham did, but you can't say that Beckham is the all-time terrible person like everybody's trying to say because of this thing. See, you can't really say that. And I just feel that Norman, if Beckham was going to be suspended, Norman should be suspended too because as soon as Beckham blasted off the line, Norman was in his face. You know,
yep.
I just fought Beckham for not running his routes and stopping maybe 5 or 10 yards after he would leave the line and join it up with him, you know, shoving it up with him. You know, if Beckham would have just stuck to his game, he had the man burned the first pass he had. He missed the pass, but he had Norman burned. He would have had him burned the whole game. He didn't have to worry about that. I just think he should have let his greatness speak in his football playing because the man is great. You can't deny that. You know, he's a very great football player. I just feel that Norman should have been suspended on the verge of being suspended along with Beckham.
Joe, thank you for your phone call, and thank you for your thoughts.
Great insight, great thoughts. And the other thing, that if you look back in this season, if you're going to suspend people for actions like this, how come Adam Pac-Man Jones didn't get suspended when he ripped the helmet off of Amari Cooper, was choking him out and hitting his head up against his own helmet?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of, I think, situations that took place this year, this season.
Well, the movie Concussion wasn't coming out then.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, this is not the most ideal week for Odell Beckham Jr. to be, of course, appealing something with this movie coming out. But let me say this, because I hosted an NFL Nation show on ESPN Radio on Sunday night. Okay, obviously this was the hot topic. I hosted this morning on ESPN New York, 4 to 6 a.m. And this was the hot topic because of the appeal hearing that's taking place.
Until it's solved today, this is all that anybody's going to talk about, and rightfully so.
And I get it. And I understand everybody having an opinion in regard to what happened on that football field and whether you feel it was right or wrong, whether you feel it was instigated or not, whatever the case may be. But what I do have a problem with is thinking, communicating, saying that Odell Beckham Jr. is a bad individual. He is not a bad person. He is somebody who just let his emotions, I think, get the best of him, or the worst of him, I should say. But Odell Beckham Jr. is a very nice young man. And I think also, I think people are kind of forgetting, Davey's only 23 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
So that in regard to the comments and the callers and people and their feel. We're not talking about a bad human being here. He's a really nice young man.
He really is.
And I think we all kind of sometimes need to take a look in the mirror, because we've all done really foolish stuff in our life, Dave.
Yeah.
Prime example.
Two weeks ago, I had my daughter here at the facility with me.
I didn't meet her.
We're inside the training room. She's sitting on the table. We're just sitting there talking to the doctors. Odell immediately walks up. Hey, beautiful, is everything okay? Because she's sitting on the table. He was checking to make sure she was all right. It was a sincere thought of, oh, she's standing on the table. Doctor's here. Is she okay? It wasn't – to see that, it shows you a lot about who he is as a person and how thoughtful it was. And she's like, Daddy, he just called me beautiful. Aww. It hit her home. So it just goes to show you, he is a good person. He's a great player. He lost his cool. It's happened to players all around the league. I've been a part where players have been on there and have lost their cool. I mean, you think about times where Derek Thomas, one of the best defensive ends, had a game where he had four personal fouls of doing stuff late. So it happens. It happens in the game. But because of who Odell Beckham Jr. is, it's going to get magnified to the highest extent, and because it was the game of the week, of course this is going to happen.
Let's continue with our calls, 201-939-4513. Let's go to Taylor in New Hampshire. Taylor, welcome in.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Great.
Good, good. Really appreciate having a chance to talk to you guys, and especially when someone like Dave Deal is there. I just love to hear the insight from former players. And so I've been thinking a lot about the future of the Giants over the next two or three years. I just wanted to say I fully support Coach Coughlin. Hope he stays around for many years. But I also agree with a caller earlier who was just talking about kind of the slow starts of the Giants. And I really have come to appreciate Eli and what he's doing. And but I have to think also that. I feel like the slow starts are somewhat reflective of his personality. And looking back on the Dolphins game, it seemed like there was a point in time where Eli just came to life. And I kind of wondered, I guess my question is, to what extent to what percentage does Eli call audibles? It seems to me like when he gets to a point, and he just comes alive at a certain point, and he just does some brilliant things. But it seems like he's a slow starter.
Thank you for the phone call to answer your question. From what I understand, this season Eli Manning I want to use the word 80%. I heard that 80% of the time Eli Manning, he's getting a call in from McAdoo, and 80% of the time he's able to adjust the call, whether he wants it to be a running play, a passing play.
They're
he's
running a lot of check with me's or alerts, so he has two play options at the line of scrimmage. Number one, you talk about him starting slow, and I can understand where you say that. But as a quarterback, when you're trying to manipulate and see what a defense does, or is there a certain flavor of the week, you're going to take more time to be cautious about things instead of going and ripping it. But at the same time, you need somebody who's an emotional guy to step up and make that big play. Yeah, Eli can deliver a football great, but when I was playing, you had a big Ahmad Bradshaw or Brandon Jacobs run. Somebody else has to make an explosive play in order to get everybody amped up. Yes, Eli does it great, and he is a cool and confident player, but at the same time, you can't put this all on him. Somebody else has got to make stand up and do something to bring those emotions out of everybody else as well.
Let's continue with our calls, 201-939-4513. We go to Melissa, who's calling in from New Jersey. Melissa, welcome in.
Hi there. Thank you very much.
Hi, Melissa.
How are you both doing?
We're doing great.
Great. So I'm on Twitter all the time, and I saw that Lawrence Tynes tweeted that the suspension was overturned. It doesn't seem like something he would
no.
do.
I would wait for the NFL to announce it before Lawrence. I love you, Lawrence Tynes, but I don't think you're on the inside on this one, brother.
Well, I hope he's right. But I just wanted to say that I get a little upset throughout the season when people are so quick to turn on our own players as Giants fans and then get upset from outside sources of getting heated about our players when so many people are doing the same thing. I happen to love Tom Coughlin. I think he gets thrown under the bus a lot. I think everything he does gets picked apart. He gets picked apart for being 70 and people want to make slightly veiled comments about, maybe he's too old or he doesn't get it. And I just think it's like an incredibly horrible thing to do to a guy who's led us to two Super Bowl championships. And I just think he deserves better from the fan base than what he's getting.
Well, number one, when it comes to Coach Coughlin saying that he's too old is completely comical to me. There's nobody who knows more football and brings the same energy day in and day out every single day. You never see a tired Coach Coughlin. And he is a guy who I know as a player made me the best that I could be, because if you do it once perfect, he demands that from you every single time. So I love Coach Coughlin, and there's, like I said, there's no doubt that he brings the energy. And for all those people who doubt him and that he's too old, he knows more football than those people can fit in a thimble.
I love to hear that. All right, well, happy holidays. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
All right, so let's end on this. Let's really look forward to this game with or without Odell Beckham Jr. So with Odell Beckham Jr., how do you see this game playing out on Sunday Night Football?
With Odell Beckham Jr., I see this game playing out better, where the Giants can run and manipulate the football and actually have their game and their football tempo offensively in sync. Defensively, it's all going to be on stopping the run, coming up with sound tackles, and forcing negative plays on first and second down, and on linebackers covering tight ends and running backs out of the backfield. Without Odell Beckham Jr., this wide receiving core has to step up, and it's this offensive line has got to do the best job they've done all season protecting and open up holes, because if they don't, the Giants will not win this football game.
All right. Odell Beckham Jr.
I was with Odell Beckham Jr., without, even more so, this game's going to lie on the offensive line. Yes, you want to say Reuben Randall, who definitely needs to step up, as well as the other wide receivers, but this game is going to be dictated by the offensive line of the New York Giants.
What have you seen? Because I'm with you in regard to this team being able to run the football,
yes,
especially with the weather conditions. If you missed that part of the show, Sunday, highs are 19, and that's during the day. So at night, they're supposed to dip into the 10s, and then who knows with the wind chill, could be below zero temperatures.
They've got to be able to set the edge and get the ball outside, which has been an issue this season by the tight ends and the tackles getting turned in, forcing the ball inside. They've got to be able to test the edges and get the ball outside against this Minnesota defense, because, number one, that's where they're susceptible to having missed tackles. But what else does it do? It will spread out this defense where they can get those holes down the middle, and Eli can get his play action shots going. If they do not run the ball successfully, they don't get the play action going, it's going to be a long day.
But what have you seen the past 2 weeks? We've seen Rashad Jennings.
Yes.
So
he's been getting the bulk of the carries. They've been living and dying by him, which, you think about it, if there was any time to do it, it's now in December when you have nothing left to lose. You've got to give him the carries.
Fantastic. Good stuff as always.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. You have a fantastic week.
You
what
as well.
What game are you?
I've got the Indianapolis Colts at Miami Dolphins this weekend, so I'll be in Miami.
Interesting.
A little bit different weather than Minnesota.
Yeah, absolutely. It's probably going to be really nice down there, but an interesting game because the Colts trying to keep pace with what's going on with the Houston Texans to win that AFC South division. So a lot more meaningful game for the Colts more so than the Miami Dolphins. For all of us here at the Giants, we're wishing everybody out there a happy and Merry Christmas. I'm actually back tomorrow. I want to say that I'm on with Feagles. Okay. I believe so. Either Feagles or Paul Dottino. So we will be back tomorrow with Big Blue Kickoff Live. Again, no decision made as of yet in regard to Odell Beckham Jr. and the one-game suspension being overturned, regardless of Tyne's tweet. But as soon as that is made known, I'm sure all Giants fans out there who are following the Grazianos and the Ralph Bacchianos and everyone, as soon as that decision will be made, I'm sure everybody will find out. So have a great night, everybody, and we'll see you tomorrow, high noon, right here on Giants.com.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Well, intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.